Hey, welcome back to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levin's here, and we have Kathy Barnett with us on Wednesdays as well. Hello, Kathy. How are you doing this morning? It's a wonderful morning here at the Freedom Station. As we're talking about the six reasons, young Christians abandon church. Kathy, you were on to something there when you were talking about the churches. Reason number one, churches seeming to be overprotective. Would you care to elaborate?
Well, you want to elaborate on your part of your reason. Like you were thinking it's based on fear.
Well, see, yeah, okay, full disclosure here. We were talking a little bit off the air. We were going, all right, we're talking about the different reasons here. We read through them before. It took a little bit to get through the statistics, but we...
Reason one why young Christians are leaving the church or abandoning Christianity is because they are feeling as though the church is overprotective. And your comment was you believe that's based on fear. And I said, no, I don't think that's based on fear at all. I honestly believe that they feel this way. I think it's appropriate for them to feel this way based on their age range, and the age range being between 19 and 24.
Uh-huh.
They're young, you guys, and you fall into that group. You think you
guys,
know
yeah.
everything. Yeah, I'm a little bit outside
guilty,
of 24.
Guilty is charged. No,
I know,
but
you think
it's
you
true.
Know everything. It's all about self, me, myself, and I.
It's true.
I'm going to recreate the whole wheel. I know it differently. And so I think it's very natural for people in that particular age range to think they know everything, because now you're out of high school. Generally, you're kind of going off into the world and trying to find yourself.
Now, we were, again, full disclosure, we were talking off air, and we were like, okay, because we got to save this. We actually stopped ourselves from talking. We're like, all right, let's save this so we can talk about this on the air.
Yes.
You could go ahead and call and let your voice be heard, by the way. It's 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK, toll free, 1-877-667-1180. So, yeah, we do have some differences of opinion on that one as to why churches seem overprotective. And I think it's because of our generation are different. Well, you know what?
Probably by like a day or a year or something.
We're both pretty young. You know, well, I joke about how I'm old, but I'm 23. I joke about how I'm old on the air. I think it's because we're from different areas in life.
Yes.
Actually, quite honestly,
yeah.
Because you have a family. You
I
have
do.
Children.
I do.
You know, I'm getting married. I don't have that responsibility yet.
You're
I don't
free.
Have children.
You are what we call free.
Right. So the perspective of, well, kids have this idea that, you know, everything is right. It's their way and they're going to do it their way. And that kind of being the main reason as to why young people would think churches seem overprotective, you know, that makes sense coming from your point of view. And honestly, both points are probably true.
Mm-hmm, yes.
They're definitely true. I do think it's because of fear as well. I think...
Why?
Well,
fear of what?
Well, when I say that, I think that a lot of times in church, when we have reasons for what we talk about, when we talk about reasons for our faith, when that gets challenged, the response, if we think about our faith, should be faith. There are times when I haven't known the answer to a good question posed to my faith, challenging my faith as to why I believe it or why don't I believe in something else other than Christianity. There have been those questions posed to me, and I haven't known the answer sometimes. And our faith is still, at the end of the day, it is a faith. The atheist has faith. Even though they don't believe in anything, they have faith. And I think fear is the opposite of that, and I think that sometimes when we're posed, like a younger generation may do in churches, pose those good, tough questions because they want to know the answers to. Sometimes I think the church does react out of fear. Not all the time, but I do think that they react out of fear. And that,
oh, yeah, most definitely.
Right, so that's kind of what I'm getting at there with that one, as far as to why churches seem overprotective. But, you know, we'll put this on the shelf for a second here because we have a special guest that's in studio with us today. Kim, you've been with us in studio before. You're with Kiwanis International. Kim, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Very good to have you on the air again. We always love, and this is part of our spotlight portion of the program where we bring in a local business ministry. In this course, a charity, a nonprofit, Kiwanis International. And you've been on before, but for those who may have not heard you, Kim, could you go ahead and just tell us a little bit of the mission of Kiwanis.
Yes, it's a community organization. It's geared towards service, and the mission is the belief that the most effective way to enhance a community is to enhance its children. When you give a child a chance to learn, experience, dream, and succeed, great things will happen.
I like that.
That's a good mission. That's a good mission. And it starts with our children. So tell us what's new with Kiwanis. What is happening? Apparently, Kiwanis is getting involved with the library.
Yes, it is. Recently, the East Norriton Kiwanis is partnering with the Children's Department at the Montgomery County Norristown Public Library.
Okay.
And what we've been doing is, for Earth Day back in April, we were creating planners out of cans for recycling and providing potting soil and seeds for the kids to actually plant.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
We had about 50 kids who were in that.
Awesome. So you guys made planters out of cans then?
Yes.
I thought you said planners there for a second, so I'm thinking, you know, like a planner, like you plan your day. I was like, well, you made that out of cans.
Yeah, that was more planting, potting soil and seeds and all that.
Right.
But I love that. You know, I mean, like one of the things I've been telling my kids since they were very, very little kids is go use your imagination station.
Yes.
Because it is amazing. And when they have babysitters that come over to the home, they're so amazed that my kids are not, you know, engrossed in television or playing all day and all night on their, what do you call those little Game Boys, those little...
What are they called?
Video games. See, we don't have them.
I thought you were looking for a particular
imagination
brand.
Station. I know. I'm sure you have Xboxes and all that kind of stuff.
I was going to say video games. I was like, oh yes, they're called video games.
Yes,
video games. And then they have because I think the DS is the one that's the most popular now. I don't really follow.
You know
up
what?
On that
You're
stuff.
Speaking Greek to me right now. But I mean, So I love the mission of Kiwanis in that it seems as though you guys are really focused on helping kids use their imagination.
Yes. And also with Earth Day, it was both recycling the cans and with creating the green, letting things grow.
Which, you know, it's the fact that you bring up Earth Day there. You know, as Christians, you know, we're called to be good stewards of the earth, and we're called to care for it and protect it, and that's a wonderful thing that you're instilling that in children. And you ever meet a farmer, like a real farmer?
Yes, there's a farmer at my church that I've met.
Yeah, actually the president of the university that I just graduated from not too long ago, he was a farmer for a long time. Whenever they talk about growing something and working with their hands, it's like it's like they're talking about a hot rod. It's like a car guy talking about a hot rod. They're like, yeah, when you grow something and you cultivate and you till it, and they absolutely love being that part in God's creation. It's amazing.
I have friends who are gardeners, and to hear them talk about it's just a wonderful thing that plowing planting seeds, tending them, watching them grow. It's almost like raising a child.
Yeah, and speaking on that, my kids were so amazed because we have a garden. They were so amazed. I wanted them to know that food does not come from originally Giant or Super Fresh or Walmart, but that it comes from the ground. So that was one of my initial missions.
Well Tommy, I have something to tell you.
I know.
Giant does not make the food. They get it from somewhere.
Apples do not grow in plastic bags.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, right? They don't grow in plastic bags. And I think that that's just something, you know, just very tangible and concrete that sometimes we in this room, we giggle about it thinking that it's common. But for a lot of our kids, kind of like what you guys are doing, you know, it's teaching them to use their imagination. It's teaching them to be resourceful. It's teaching them to kind of go outside of what most kids on their little video games are playing and just kind of interact with the world around them.
Exactly.
Go ahead,
Kim. Also working with the library, what happens when they're on summer vacation is they lose a lot of the skills that they were working on all school year long.
Well, Kim, why don't you go ahead and tell us if people want to, maybe they could get involved in what you're doing at the library or with Kiwanis, or maybe you could just, the library is in East North, and that's correct?
That's right. Well, in Norristown itself.
Norristown itself,
on,
okay.
On 1001 Powell Street.
Okay. And if people want to get involved, let's say they want to actually come, or they want to give something, what would how would they do that?
Well, one thing we're doing is collecting crayons and paper. Kids love to color. Kids love to create, of all ages, especially the preschoolers. They need the larger crayons, the ones that are easier to grip.
Uh-huh.
And for the older kids up to sixth grade, they love to color. There have been several programs at the Norristown Library where creating art, drawing, and they just love it. And we'd like to give them that opportunity.
Okay, and they could go ahead and bring those to the library then if they want to give, or is there another place where they could go ahead and give those?
They can go to the library or the curves of East Norton on Germantown Pike. It's across from the Walmart. We can collect crayons, especially the big ones for the preschoolers.
Okay.
As well as the regular crayons.
All right. Well, we've got to head to a break. We're going to continue the conversation with Kim with Kiwanis International right after this.
Are you confused by your investment statements? Would you like a second opinion? MFB Wealth Management would be happy to meet with you. We'll review your statements and explain them to you to make it easier for you to understand. Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, when Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." We seek to serve and honor God by being a blessing to others and their families. We will work with you using sound biblical planning for your financial future.
Call MFB today at 215-723-8999 to schedule your free appointment.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999. Visit our website, mfbwm.com.
A second set of eyes on your investments can't hurt. 215-723-8999.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA, SIPC.
Coming up on the next Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Kids shut down when they don't feel like someone's listening to them. They shut down when they feel like someone doesn't care. And it puts parents in a real predicament because we think that it's the kids that are doing that. But I really believe this is where we are provoking them at times.
Just a sample of what you'll hear when you join us for Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
Good morning and welcome back to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. You know, we love talking with nonprofits here at the station. We love talking with different businesses or people involved in the community. That's why we do our spotlight segment. And we have Kim McGillian, who's been talking to us from Kiwanis International right now. And we also have in studio Executive Director, District Executive Director, Kevin Thomas of the Pennsylvania District of Kiwanis. Kevin, how you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very, very good. So, Kevin, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about Kiwanis. Now, Kim, you told us about some wonderful ways people can get involved in their local community. They want to go ahead and contribute to Kiwanis.
What are some larger ways that people could get involved? Say that they may actually want to volunteer themselves.
Well, this week we're working on recruiting and bringing in members into the East Norton club that we're building. We're focusing on the Germantown Pike area in particular. If anyone's interested, I'd certainly be glad to stop by and visit with them this week. If they hearing this broadcast, they can call me on my cell phone number if I can give that out. It's
sure, go for it.
717-805-1286.
Can you say that again?
717-805-1286.
You're a brave man.
We'll stop by and visit with them tell them a little bit more about Kiwanis and how they can get involved in the new club that we're forming in this area.
Well, tell me about your experience with Kiwanis. How did you get to the point of district executive director? That's pretty high up.
Well, Kiwanis offers a host of programs called service leadership programs, and those programs focus on various levels in our education system, high school, middle school, and even college. And I got very active in the college organization that Kiwanis sponsors, Circle K, and I was the district or state governor. And then I joined a Kiwanis club directly after that graduation, I was working insurance. One day they called me and said that my predecessor resigned. We'd like to talk to you about this position. And I said, sure. And we managed to work it out that I could go to work for them. I thought it'd be something that I'd do for 2 or 3 years, and now I'm coming up on 29 years.
Wow.
29 years with the organization.
Yeah. And so now you were talking to us a little bit about during the break about the different types of services that you're offering.
Yeah, we Kiwanis offers a host of programs and services. As I said before, we have programs in the high school, college, middle school, and other school levels called service leadership programs. They're intended to give youth the opportunity to serve and to give them the opportunity for leadership development and run their own service projects in the school, community, in the world at large. We also are very strong into early childhood development, everything from reading to children to providing books to providing what we call early learning guides, so that parents have resources within the home to help their child develop properly. If a child isn't reading to grade level by third grade, that child very likely remains very behind in school, won't be able to do the science, math, and other things they need to graduate. And it's been shown over time that the cost of not getting it right early on is much greater than the cost of investing into a child early in life.
So these different guides are just good ways for parents to kind of keep a temperature on how
right.
their children are doing and
right.
how they're advancing in their education.
Simple things like coloring, talking about colors and counting with socks when you're folding laundry and that kind of thing. Very simple things, but things that children can interact with and help with in the home and learn at the same time.
When I was younger, we used to have sock fights. We used to do Little League and have like those really long socks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great weapons if you just stuff a bunch of more socks in them. It's kind of like you throw them. You
as long as you're not stuffing rocks or anything in them.
No. But then you just kind of, you know, anyway.
But I love the aspect that what you're doing and like your focus on the early childhood development is really, I mean, especially when we look at what's going on in our culture today and across a number of communities, that this is a really good way, an excellent way of making a real impact in various communities today. Because to your point, it's less expensive for all parties concerned to grab these kids before third grade when after that it becomes more challenging for them to keep up with the mainstream than to catch them on the other end when they're in prison or when they're hopeless or can't find a job or don't know what they want to do with their lives.
We spend in Pennsylvania on average, we spend about $37 a year. $37,000 a year housing and feeding an inmate in the Pennsylvania prison system. We don't spend anything approaching that level to properly educate a child here in Pennsylvania. We spend here we spend so much per student here in Pennsylvania, $11,000 a year, $10,000 a year. You hear those figures thrown around.
But they
don't approach anything what we spend in the prison system on a per prisoner basis.
That number. And go ahead, could you just say that number one more time? Because that makes my jaw hit
$37,000. Start with that.
Yeah, $37,000 a year per prisoner, per inmate in Pennsylvania, compared to about $10,000 a year for a student here in Pennsylvania.
Did you hear that? I hope if you just tuned in, by the way, welcome to the program. It's a new day with Michael Levins and Kathy Barnett here at 1180 WFYO. You can call in if you had a question. It's 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. We have with us Kevin Thomas, District Executive Director of Kiwanis International for the Pennsylvania District. And we also have Kim McGillian, who is working in our local Kiwanis with us on the air right now. But that number is atrocious. 37,000 for each inmate, and about 10,000 for each child
right.
in our education system.
And no wonder we have so many young people who are falling below the gap. And then you have organizations like Kiwanis that comes in and tries to fill that void. So, and I love this organization. I'll be contacting you guys a little bit later because, as you see, I have some kids of my own. But what do you need from the community?
Well, to start a club here in East Norton, in the Germantown Pike area, we need at least 15 people to sign up and agree to be a member. To agree to be a member, you have to complete an application and submit a $100 check. Kiwanis has dues that the members pay. The dues pay for the expenses of the organization. We don't use any of the money that we raise in the community to pay for the expenses of the organization. All the money that's raised in the community goes to the projects in the community, to the projects that we do worldwide.
So you could be sure that any money that you give to Kiwanis is going to go directly to the projects in which
yes.
they are behind and working on
Definitely.
In our community and throughout the world. How would they be able to do that? Where should they go? Their website?
You can go to pakiwanis.org.
Say it again.
Pakiwanis.org. That would be pakiwanis.org. We also have kiwanis.org. Again, if anyone's interested in speaking to me today, they're welcome to call my cell phone number, which I already have given out, 717-805-1286. Or they can call my office at 717-540-9300. We also have a local contact. I don't know if I have her card right
See,
here.
You're starting to sound like a radio guy now because you're rattling off contact information. And that's what we do here all the time. You know, well, you could call 610-539-8255 or 1-877-666.
And if you are someone driving, and if you're driving or you're trying to find that pin, you can never quite get those
right,
numbers. That's
right.
Why I keep saying, say it again, how they can, the attention span.
The attention span is very tough. Well, they can go to pakiwanis.org and leave a message here, and we'll get back to them. They can call 717-540-9300, or they can call Jennifer Vare at 215-350-0454.
So any of those numbers, or you could visit pakiwanis.org. That's K-I-W-A-N-I-S, K-I-W-A-N-I-S, pakiwanis.org. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the air.
Thank you.
And we hope to see Kiwanis get more and more involved in our community. You guys are doing great work across our country and in the whole entire world. We're going to head to a break, but we will be back right after this, continuing the program. Thanks for listening.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. An estimated 21,000 gallons of oil spilled through a pipeline under a freeway and into the Pacific Ocean in Central California. Firefighters responded to reports of a foul smell.
They were able to direct people into that area and ultimately get that pipeline shut down in a much faster way. They probably, you know, by doing that, they saved miles of coastline.
Santa Barbara County Fire Captain Dave Zanaboni, the oil slick extends 50 yards into the water, 4 miles long. It's officially David Letterman Day in his hometown, Indianapolis. After more than 33 years on late-night TV, his last show is tonight.
Next week, I'll be Googling foods that improve prostate health.
According to CBS, he's hosted 19,932 guest appearances on this show and NBC before this. Tonight, the network promises surprises, highlights, and one last top 10 list. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
This day, May 20th, 1927, at 7:52 a.m., one of the greatest feats in aviation began as Charles Lindbergh departed Roosevelt Field in New York in his silver monoplane named the Spirit of St. Louis. 33 and a half hours later, he landed in France, completing the first solo flight across the Atlantic. At 25 years old, he was decorated by the President of France, the King of England, and President Calvin Coolidge. At the Institute of Aeronautical Sciences, Lindbergh stated, "It was not the outer grandeur of the Roman, but the inner simplicity of the Christian that lived through the ages."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's more to it than just remembering. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land, take 12 stones, and place them on the riverbank as a memorial, a visible reminder to the next generation of the greatness of Jehovah God. In the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea, that it's God who gave victory over the enemy, and that it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, urging you on this Memorial Day, while remembering the sacrifice of earthly heroes, remember even more our awesome and great God, to whom all glory and honor are due.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Good morning and welcome to the program. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. You can go ahead and call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here this morning, and it's wonderful to be here this morning in the studio at the Freedom Station. And we have some very, very special guests in with us today. We always love bringing in different people to get tap on what's happening in the world. And we have some individuals which I think you'd be very interested to hear from this morning. We have, who's been with us before, Pastor Joel. Pastor, how you doing?
Great to be here. Thank you, Michael. Great to be here again.
It's great to have you here this morning. We also have a friend of Pastor Joel's who's been kind to bring with us this morning, Dr. Peter Hammond. Mr. Hammond or Doctor, I always have respect for those titles, especially Doctor. You put a lot of work in to get that. Thank you very much for coming on the program this morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you. Well, go ahead and tell us a little bit about, you're with Frontline Fellowship. Tell us a little bit about what Frontline Fellowship is.
We're an indigenous African mission. For the last 33 years, we've been serving the persecuted church throughout Africa, ministering over 35 countries, particularly seeking to work in resistant access areas, helping those churches that are being bombed, burned, attacked. In fact, in the last 5 years, 1,000 churches have been attacked and destroyed in many cases in Nigeria alone, northern Nigeria alone, by Muslim jihadist terrorists, Boko Haram. 16,000 Christians murdered in 5 years just in northern Nigeria by these Boko Haram jihadists. And so it's churches like those from Egypt north through Sudan, in the Congo, Mozambique, Angola, Zimbabwe, where our mission has been working.
And that's specifically what Frontline...
We exist to serve the persecuted church, to evangelize in war zones, restricted access areas, and we do this through literature, leadership training, love and action.
Okay, well, go ahead and... You gave us an article this morning. It's titled Christians Under Fire in Africa, and obviously everything you talked about, a lot of people aren't even aware of sometimes. Now, we are aware of the church being persecuted all around the world. We are aware of different Muslim extremists going and firebombing churches, and like you said, they're murdering thousands of Christians. That doesn't go reported, though, in the main news here in the United States, unfortunately.
Well, it really should be, because, you know, the same week that Boko Haram, that we saw the Charlie Hebdo massacres in Paris and 3.7 million people marching in Paris over the murder of 17 journalists and others in Paris, 2,000 Christians in northern Nigeria were massacred in one little village of Baku, and that got almost no media coverage. And one wonders why the disproportionate. Is it that some journalists in Paris are more valuable than Christians in Africa? And it's absolutely bizarre that there's not a greater concern and outrage worldwide. We had 148 students and teachers massacred in one Kenyan University, Garissa University, yes. College in Kenya, slaughtered, many of them beheaded, and the Muslim jihadists of Al-Shabaab walked along identifying who were Christians and Muslims. The Muslims were spared. The Christians were singled out for execution, many being beheaded themselves. The atrocities targeting churches, I cannot understand why there seems to be such apathy in most of the world media towards what Islam is unleashing on Christians throughout North Africa and the Middle East.
And now, why do you think there's so much apathy? Because what we're seeing, even in America, not too long ago, the Garland, Texas incident, where we had, the shootout and things like that. So, and of course, we see ISIS putting up videos of them burning people alive, the mass beheadings of people. So in our minds, we see that Islam, ISIS, is, you know, horrific. It's not something to be toyed with and played with. And yet there's such an apathy. There's such a, we'll think about that tomorrow kind of attitude, like a laissez-faire mentality towards Islam. Why do you think that is? Because Islam is in our face. Why do you think we take such a laissez-faire attitude?
Well, one of the reasons could be cowardice. I think many of the journalists are afraid to ever say the truth about Islam. They want to keep repeating the mantra that Islam is a peaceful and tolerant religion. Islam is a peaceful and tolerant religion. Say it often enough and maybe it'll come true. So there could be cowardice. There could also be just a hostility to Christianity where there might be... It's hard to want to believe that anyone's like this, but I get the impression some of these journalists might be happy to see Christians being beheaded and decapitated. Maybe they would have cheered on the stands in Nero's Colosseums to see Christians fed to the lions, because there doesn't seem to be much sympathy for the Christians being slaughtered. And we in Africa are horrified at the apparent apathy to this ongoing war. It's a jihad against Christians. Hundreds of churches are being destroyed in Egypt, over 1,000 in Nigeria, yes. But where is the outrage? But if somebody gets their feelings hurt, in America, that seems to be a major front
over.
Page newspaper.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's just really interesting because, and not only that, but, you know, I have so many competing thoughts right now on which one do I want to attack first. But I think it's really interesting because you keep talking about Islam. But now, according to the popular press, it's not Islam, all of Islam, because we know Islam to be tolerant and loving and peaceful. It's just so what we see in America is a compartmentalization of Islam, just to say, okay, well, it's just some radicals, you know, they're over there. But you keep saying Islam as the overall umbrella.
Well, that's the way we see it, because I've been bombed while preaching in church on Sunday in Sudan. We've come under artillery rocket fire. We've been strafed by helicopter gunships by the Sudan Air Force in the National Islamic Front government of Sudan. We've experienced aerial bombardments of our mission station, 10 aerial bombardments of our little clinic, Bible college, and school in Sudan. There's no military targets anywhere around. It's just our mission station. The birthplace of Christianity in southern Sudan, in Lui, a church got bombed 10 times and destroyed 3 times by the Sudan Air Force, which is thoroughly Islamic, in the name of jihad. And when they are doing the beheadings, it's into, you know, along with Allah Akbar. And if you look at Boko Haram's symbols, they've got the Quran, the open Quran, the 2 Kalashnikov assault rifles crossed, and then they've got the Shahada on a black flag. So in common with Al-Shabaab and ISIS, the Boko Haram terrorists in Nigeria have a black flag with white script, and it's in Arabic, and it's the Shahada. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Now, that's their flag.
And so you do not make a distinction between Islam and some radical fringe group.
Well, it's not that fringe. It seems pretty mainstream, and they get a lot of support. You know, during the Second World War, I didn't notice that Americans distinguished between the extremist Japanese and the ones who, you know, the ones who bombed Pearl Harbor and other Japanese, because it wasn't a free country. So even if the majority didn't support it, they didn't stop it. They had to go along with it because it was a dictatorship. Communism was never more than 5% the Soviet Union, but the whole Soviet Union was seen as a threat, even though only 5% of the Russian people were Communist Party members. But they intimidated the others into following along. And I think with Islam, it's like that. That while many of the Muslims may want to mind their own business, peer pressure, death threats, and intimidation force many mind their own business Muslims into either acceding, cooperating, or just not opposing it.
Well, and you, quite frankly, are on the receiving end of all of that. You are the persecuted church. You're working with the persecuted church.
Yes, we are.
You're being violently persecuted. You're being attacked. You're being killed. A lot of your fellow brothers and sisters over in Africa. And that's where we have the difference between American Christianity and global Christianity, because Christianity around the world has to have those feet to it. It has to, because in order to say you're a Christian in Africa, that's going to come with the most risk you'll ever have in your entire life. It's the risk of losing your very own life or even losing your loved ones because of what you believe. And we could only imagine the terrible things that have gone unreported, which even the Sudanese government gets behind, which has gone unreported here in our very own nation. Unreported because, and it's very important that this information war, it's what's happening over here in the United States, is waged. Because right now it's being waged very well, to where we never hear about things like this. But now that we put these things, at least in every attempt that we have the power to do, put these things up on the front page as much as we can in our own spheres of influence, we'll begin to kind of see the temperature change in our nation, maybe slowly but surely. It may even take some, unfortunately, may even take some similar kind of circumstances to happen here in our nation before we really recognize the price that Christians around the world are paying for their faith. And that may even be the apostasy. I mean, you yourself are an educated man. You have gone over on 100 missions in war zones, and you presented over 12,000 sermons, Bible studies, and you've lectured in 33 countries. So you have quite the experience in going around the world spreading the gospel. We've got to head to a break, but let me go ahead and preface you with this question before we do. You know, when you got started with missions work, did you think you'd be where you are today?
Definitely not.
No, yeah. How could we predict? How could we predict something like that? I've got some more questions that we want to ask you here about a frontline fellowship and some of the ways that the United States is even getting involved in Africa and involved in a way that you're not too happy about. We're going to talk about that here, and you're not going to hear about this one in the headlines. That's for sure. We're going to talk about it here on It's a New Day with Michael Evans and Kathy Barnett. You can call in if you have a question for Dr. Peter. That's 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We'll be back in just a moment. What is the news not reporting?
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
I often tell people, particularly men, it seems so much easier to draw closer to God in our adversity or our time of weakness. We are certainly more dependent on God, but a different story when prosperity strikes. Prosperity can oftentimes persuade us to think that we no longer need God, or we don't require the same things from Him when our life is going well. That's exactly what the enemy would want us to believe. Listen, if we are going to walk close to God, we need to be consistent under all circumstances.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
Because we aren't allowed to speak about one particular faith at work, I put some gospels in the bookcase. The clients we help often browse through the books, and I've been seeing the many gospels disappear. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your service.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I plan to talk with people, share the gospel, and give them a gospel of John. I've been mailing them to friends and I've been handing them out to the homeless. I've even left some at a Christian store to give out.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Hey, 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 good morning. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. You could call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. We have with us two very special guests. We have Pastor Joel, who is a local pastor of church in Berks County. Would you tell us a little bit about that church, Pastor Joel?
Sure, be glad to. We meet at the Conestoga Christian School, which is in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Morgantown's an interesting spot because it's kind of like the confluence of Chester County, Berks County, and Lancaster County. It's where all three of them meet. We meet there at the Conestoga Christian School at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings.
All right.
I mean, you have the perfect radio voice, does he not?
You really do.
He sounds like a pastor.
You really
that's
do.
That's very
the
kind. Thank you.
The perfect pastor voice. I know. It is great.
You ever considered hosting?
Not really.
Not really.
I think I see how hard you're working over there, Michael. I don't know if I could do all the kind of stuff that you're doing right now and think about what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, I'm doing well.
He does a great job. Don't be humble.
I'm doing a little bit more than what usually is done, at least in the radio biz. I'm operating the board, talking to everyone, keeping everything going here on the show side of things. But you know, we also have with us Dr. Peter Hammond, who is with Frontline Fellowship. He's a missionary. He's been serving in Africa and around the world. Dr. Peter Hammond with us right now. Dr. Peter, thank you very much again for joining us again on the program. Well, we want to go ahead and I want to run down some questions that I have about what you're doing or what we can learn about Frontline Fellowship. How did you get started in missions work?
I'm born and bred African. I was raised in Rhodesia, what today is Zimbabwe, in a country at war. And when I was converted at age 17, the first missionary to come past our church, Francis Grimm from Hospital Christian Fellowship, I went and joined his mission, Hospital Christian Fellowship. And that really taught me to pray and taught me faith and taught me a whole lot of key important lessons in missions. And then I was called up into the military. We had conscription, 2 years full-time military service, followed by 10 years part-time. And I stood up in my military base and on a Sunday morning I said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I want to honor him during my next 2 years here. If anyone else feels the same, please see me afterwards. Let's start a Bible study and prayer fellowship. And that was the beginning of Frontline Fellowship. We were a fellowship of Christians in the army. We studied the Bible every night. We had all-night prayer meetings often on Saturdays. We prayed through Operation World. God gave us a vision for the communist countries that we were fighting and enemies across the border, Mozambique and Angola. Only one Bible for every 1,000 Christians in Mozambique. Nobody under 18 allowed in a church, persecution church. And God put a burden. And so after winning many of our fellow soldiers and even some of our enemies that were captured to the Lord, we then launched after our military service on motorbikes with a Jesus film, 60mm projector, talking about 1982, into these war zones of Mozambique, Angola, winning people to Christ. I'd crank up the generator, show the Jesus film in terrorist camps and refugee camps. We saw people come to Christ by great numbers, even our enemies. I baptized people who were our communist enemies that we were fighting and brought them to the Lord and counseled. And extraordinary things happened. So for the last 33 years, our mission has had the privilege of working throughout Africa in many of these conflict areas. And that's included training the chaplains in the South Sudan Army.
Now, you talked about communist countries, ministering in communist countries, and even you said communist enemies there.
Yes.
Now, why, and this is coming from a Christian missionary. Now, it's important for you, the listener, to know. You can go ahead and call in, by the way. It's 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. It's important for you to know you're a Christian missionary. You're serving in these war-torn areas. So why would a communist country, why would that be a point of ministry? Why would that be more so? We need to minister everywhere.
Well,
I do know
they,
that.
They neglected mission field, and it's often dangerous and difficult. When the Lord gave the Great Commission, he didn't say stop at the barbed wire fence or the Iron Curtain or the landmine field or the river. And so the Great Commission is for every nation. And here were these countries that were plainly unevangelized. Mozambique, according to Operation World, was the least evangelized country in the Southern Hemisphere, not a Bible for 1,000 people. Obviously, it was a mission field, but we, having been in the military, had learned how to cross borders, and we had been praying for our enemies, which the Bible commands us to do. So it was natural that God launched us to focus on winning these places to Christ.
Right, but from a Christian missionary, though, and I'm trying to get at something here. Getting into a communist country, why would that be unevangelized as a communist country? And I'm trying to make a point here.
Well, because communism and atheism go together. they made the highest ideological priority to ban all religious expression and activity. Atheism was the national religion. They were persecuting churches, burning churches. 8,000 churches were destroyed in communist Mozambique. And so we're dealing with a persecuted church, and it's illegal. It was Bible smuggling.
That's the most important thing that people need to know about, because we hear so much as far as in America, and we'll get back and we'll wrap up the program, but people need to know that as far as communism in particular is concerned, that there is so much, that we just kind of wipe our eyes clear of here in America, that we just don't want to see. We don't want to see how evil something like communism can really be. And you are experiencing from communist countries this, you're experiencing the suppression of the Word of God. You're experiencing persecution. You're experiencing violent attacks even from some of these countries. And that's the real story that people don't hear about here in the United States. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
No, they do not. I mean, yes, we've been in prison and we've been tortured and we've had our mission station bombed multiple times. And that's all part of working behind enemy lines in communist countries and Muslim countries. Of course, today there's a tremendous onslaught of jihad against Christians, and the Bible tells us to be a house of prayer for all nations, to remember the persecuted, and we do need to remember the persecuted. So if folks want documentation on this, we've put it on frontline.org.za, on our website, or on our Facebook page, Frontline Fellowship. So frontline.org.za has got a lot of the documentation, pictures, links, videos, and so on. So if folks want to know and pray for the persecuted church, do get in touch with us.
That's frontline.org/za.
That's right. Or they can email us mission@frontline.org.za.
All right. Excellent. And, you know, even America is getting involved in pushing abortion and homosexuality in South Africa, where we don't have a whole lot of time, but this is important for people to know too.
Yes, the perverted agenda of the State Department has just toppled a government in Africa, Nigeria, the most populous country in Africa. Nigeria, with 140 million population, was under Muslim military dictators for 36 years. It went to Christian rule just over 16 years ago, and by God's grace, it's been free of persecution, although the Muslim jihadists in the north have been attacking. But now, the U.S. government has so destabilized and undermined the government of President Jonathan, a Christian, in Nigeria, that the incumbent lost the election. In fact, a U.S. congressman testified that the U.S. military had the information that could have destroyed the Boko Haram terrorists and brought about the release of these hundreds of Christian schoolgirls kidnapped by the Boko Haram Islamic terrorists, and they withheld it just because of the pro-family stance, the opposition of the Nigerian government to the same-sex marriage agenda of the Obama White House. And as a result, the people of Nigeria boycotted the election in droves. It had the lowest voter turnout ever, 43%, and the first time an incumbent has lost an election. And the ex-Muslim military dictator Muhammadu Buhari is now the leader in Nigeria. So here you can see the perverted agenda has literally changed governments.
One more time, can we get that website as we're wrapping up the program?
frontline.org.za. Frontline.org.za.
Frontline.org.za if you want to get in touch with the organization, or even if maybe you feel called to be a part and get in contact. Dr. Peter Hammond, wonderful to have you. We've got to wrap up the program here for today. Thank you so much for listening. It's a new day. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
We'll be right back. Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL. King of Prussia. Philadelphia.